Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for Adult Sunday School. Thank you for Peacemakers, being able to gather together and talk about conflict in our lives and how you meet us and how there are opportunities to glorify you when conflict arises. Be with us in our discussion. Let us be honest and transparent. And let us be willing to hear what you might have us learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome. I have the windows open, trying to be cool, but it does get warm in here.
So, we are in part two, week three, not week two. We had an intro week, but it's the second week of the main series. And today's title is Conflict Provides Opportunity. Before I dive into that, I know a lot of us have been rotating in and out. Want to just take a second to review maybe what we talked about last week. One of the main things we talked about were the four G's of biblical peacemaking. Does anybody remember what one of those were? Anyone want to take a shot? Four G's. You might be able to guess and get it right. Go on, let's go. So the first one was to glorify God. The second one was to get the log out of your own eye. The third one is to gently restore. And then the fourth one is go and be reconciled. So this is what we talked about last week. And the reason I bring it up is these G's, four G's, will come up again and again throughout the next 10-ish weeks. And it's a good category to think of. The other thing we talked about, which you'll see at the top of your lesson two handout, was peace fakers, peace breakers, and peacemakers. And these were the three large categories that everyone tends to respond to when conflict arises in our lives. Can anybody give a definition for what peace fakers is? If you need help, it's on the back of your laminated paper. But it's on the left side. It's the peace faking is our escape responses. And those get broken out into denial, flight, and suicide. And so what that looks like is when conflict arises, we like to imitate and pretend that we have peace, but really we're just avoiding the conflict, either through denial or flight, or even worst case scenario, suicide. And then on the other side of things, poor way to respond to conflict is peace breakers. And those are attack responses, which we have assault, litigation, or even as far as murder. And we'll dive into these and kind of throughout the course, take time to kind of look at biblical examples of where these occur and how they were improper responses. But the one thing about attack responses is it's the when you go down that route, it's out of a root desire of I want to win. Like I'm here to dominate, I'm here to get what is rightfully mine and control, and it can lead to assault, litigation, or murder. And then in the middle, we see our peacemaker type of responses, and we have a wide range from anything from overlooking to reconciliation to negotiation to mediation, arbitration, and even accountability. And the overlook, reconciliation, and negotiation can be done on an individual basis, where the mediation, arbitration, accountability tends to mean you have to bring somebody in from the outside. As many of you are parents, this is probably what you do when your children get in fights and arguments, that you mediate or arbitrate or even hold them accountable to make sure that they're able to eventually find reconciliation. Good morning, Patrick. There are handouts in the back you can grab. And if you want to be a reader, you can grab a Bible as well. Anyways, I wanted to go over that brief review of the G's of biblical peacemaking, which are glorifying God, getting the log out of our eye, gently restoring, going and being reconciled, along with peace fakers, peace breakers, and peacemakers to just kind of help us get in the mindset of what we're going to discuss today. And the main point for this session is conflict is an opportunity to show God's love and power in our lives. And what I want us to do now, you can pair up with the person to your left or to your right, or get in larger groups if you want. Answer the question, one way that you or I tried remembering to act as a Christian during a conflict. This could be this week, this could be over the course of your lifetime, but take 2-3 minutes to discuss and ponder one way that you tried to remember to act as a Christian during a conflict.
Whether or not the response is justified, and thinking, is this response become a stumbling block for the person to seek correction, to seek help? Even with my kids, there are times, yeah, I feel like, well, it's perfectly justified because they're being released and they're disobeying. But if I react to a call now to seek God, it's something that would have been for my kids. They miss Jesus because of the response, you know, with neighbors or even interactions at a store or something like that.
I'll give you about 1 more minute. All right, we could wrap up discussions and have your attention and come back together. Anybody want to share of one way that they tried to remember to act as a Christian during a conflict? Any volunteers?
Yeah, just recently I've been thinking about that. The sort of scripture I read that was just always gentle. You know, and instead of trying to win an argument, if you're having a discussion, an argument, even if you're paid, what difference does it make if your pride is involved? You know? So I'm just trying to be gentle, even if I have to roll over and forget about it. You know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point there, Jeff. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, see some of that scripture played out of God's commands to us of how to respond to conflict. Anybody else, how they tried to respond as a Christian during a conflict recently? Max? Okay. Very specific.
Last night, we were playing with a pickleball, and you were there, and I told one of my children, he actually got upset with me and said, you know, you're telling me it's
you weren't doing what I was supposed to. And then he walked out of the room, and 2 seconds later, you know, he came to me and said, I was wrong. You know, I shouldn't have yelled. So I went and apologized to him. So,
that's fresh in my mind right there, because even though he did this, I didn't react.
Yeah, and I think what you highlight there, Max, is the kind of ebbs and flow of because of we all admit that we are sinful, that when conflict arises, our initial response is we want to go into the escape route or attack route, but luckily by God's grace and the movement of the Holy Spirit, he convicts us of our sin, and we always still have an opportunity to come back and bring that reconciliation and respond and humbly admit. That's a huge thing. I've talked to folks back and forth of just them saying that they've never really felt like their parents did sin against them, but never really heard their parents admit that for whatever thing. And so I know that will be very impactful in your children's life to continue to do that. So question, and there's the answers there. But when you think of conflict, do you tend to think of all conflict as bad conflict? She needs some heads shaking. No. Anybody's shaking yes? Okay, good. Not all conflict is bad. I mean, the Bible shows us that conflict, especially from differences, can be very beneficial if handled correctly. Two passages of scripture quoted there, Acts 15, that is on the passage where Paul's going back out on a missions journey and his decision not to take John Mark with him, and they kind of split up for there. He takes Silas, I think it is. Barnabas takes John Mark. So there was difference. And the scripture even says, I think it says disagreement was great, is the language it uses. And even then, Lord uses it for the advancement of his gospel. Also, 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 31, that is the passage of scripture that talks about how we are many different parts of the body. Some people are a foot, some people are ears, whatever, arms, and how if we're all one part of the body, that would be a problem. And so differences are good. When I was reading through this, I thought back to pre-marriage counseling with Kevin. One of our discussions that we spent a long time was how differences doesn't necessarily mean sin, which kind of leads us into point number 5. But before that, I want to highlight part B there, that the root of conflict that arises often comes from these 4 main causes, which are misunderstandings, differences, competition, and sinful attitudes. And a lot of times there's a mixture of those 4 in there. But the differences and even misunderstandings do not necessarily have to lead into a response with sinful attitudes or in sin. It can just working through to come to an understanding, which leads me into question 5. Which is, think of a personality or temperament difference between you and someone whom you relate to often, so spouse, child, coworker, parent. Describe how that difference can actually benefit you and the other person. So I'll give you about 30, 45 seconds to think about that, and then I'll be looking for someone to volunteer to share. All right. Anybody want to share of a personality or temperament difference between you and someone you relate to and how that can actually benefit you and the other person? Corey.
So I'm a skeptic.
Okay.
I rarely believe anything. Everything, I tend to always be the person that goes, and it seems kind of fishy. Mike will honestly go, okay, I believe that. The boundaries are not there when it comes to him. He goes, okay, yeah, I believe that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. So between the two of us, we can kind of call each other what's actually going on. Where I'm always like, no. He's like, but maybe this. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's possible. Or he's like, let's do this. And I'm like, that's crazy. No. No, we're not doing that. I'm very skeptical of that.
Yes. No, that's
so
good.
Between the two of us, we kind of figure out what's my reality.
Yeah, no, that's a good example of being skeptic versus accepting. And I liked what you highlight there, Corey, of how you kind of work together in a kind of a negotiation slash maybe mediation together side of things, rather than running one way to the other of either denial, might be the tendency for someone that's more of a skeptic, and then so it's all believing to be assaulting of hey, why aren't you trusting me, or why don't you move forward? So that's a good way to navigate. Anybody else have an example they'd like to share? Yes, sorry.
I think they tend to be more communicative.
Yeah.
And I tend to be less communicative. And I benefit from that because I find out a lot of things about my children. She tells me. Text them and telephone them and talk to them. And I can do that.
No, that's good. Thanks, Jim. Mr. Moffitt, did you want to share?
Yeah. Back when I was working, I had a principal who came in and destroyed a well-oiled machine that our school loved. And as the counselor, one of my responsibilities was doing all the testing. And we were transitioned to be a high school.
Yeah.
So I had to learn all the high school stuff and preparing for the ACT and the SAT were just phenomenal. All the hoops that I had to jump through and things I had to get prepared. And I would think that everything was settled. I had trained all the teachers and came in the morning for testing, and she had changed everything. And I learned to hold my temper.
Yes.
That, because I can go off real yeah. easily. I generally don't do that. I really don't always hold that kind
yeah.
of stuff back.
Yeah.
But finally, it came to the point where she asked me for a copy of the test so that she could show the teachers what they should be teaching.
Mm.
And I just looked at her and said, absolutely not. That's unethical, and I won't do it. I didn't know if I was going to have a job the next day when I came in, but she apologize.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah, that's a tough situation to be in. Somebody so different, and to hold your ground, and it seems like it benefited, hopefully, the school long term by working together there. And so that does take a stance. So thanks for sharing on that. When I was thinking about this, I think I shared this last year when we were going through 10 Commandments about generosity. So Julie and I can be, we're both generous, but in different ways. And so that conflict sometimes where like, I want to be generous one way, she wants to be generous the other way. And we both like to spend, but in different categories. I'm more of the one that likes to splurge on like traveling and trips of like, oh yeah, let's upgrade the hotel room or whatever. Where she would much rather like splurge on like nice things in the kitchen. on that side where I'm just like, I'm okay with the cheap pan or whatever. And so, but anyways, the difference is in that we both have our generosity and our spending habits come out in different ways. And so the benefit is that we working together on that side of things, it can be really well rounded on seeing how we like to show generosity in different ways. And so, so that was one thing that came up. The other one that laughed about this morning as we drove over here, I was driving with the windows down. And she wanted the windows up. And so that was just like a very small difference. And the benefit is I wanted the windows down because it was cool outside. She wanted the windows up to feel the AC in the car to be cool. We both wanted to be cool. And so instead of showing up with... Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. Mr. Moffat got a little bit towards this, of that when conflict arises from differences or misunderstandings or competition or sinful attitudes, there are multiple ways to respond. There are three here. And the first one is glorify God. And that goes back to kind of our original kind of opening question you guys discussed on, was glorifying God. For sake of time, can I get some people to volunteer to read? Somebody wants to read Proverbs 3:5. All right. Bill Lawrence has got Proverbs 3:5. Somebody want to do John 15:8-9? Jim. And then somebody read Ephesians 5:1-2. Lisa, you got that? And then Max, can you do, it's not even on here, Colossians 13:7. There's a lot of passages of scripture, so I'm probably going to ebb and flow between which ones we choose. Bill, could you read Proverbs 3:5?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
Yeah, so right there we see trust God is the way that we glorify God is by trusting him. And sometimes the trust is not knowing if we're going to have a job the next day. It might be we don't know how our children or spouse are going to respond or even family members respond when conflict arises. But we glorify God by trusting him. John 15:8-9, Jim.
Now this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Approved to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love.
Can you read 9:2? Is that 9:2? Okay, that was 9. Yeah, so he talks about fruit and abiding in his love. Some versions talk about, also it mentions the word commandments, and so it says abide in my commandments as well. And so obeying God. And obeying God is simple. We know it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so when conflict arises, asking ourselves, how can we obey God? Lisa, can you read Ephesians 5:1-2?
Therefore, become imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example. As well beloved children, imitate the Father, and walk continually in love, that is to value one another practically, practice empathy and compassion, and selfishly seeking the best for others. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Yeah, thank you. So we talk about being imitators, guys. So it's kind of compound, and interweave together. And then Max, can you read Colossians 13:17? Or excuse me, Colossians 3:17.
I was going to say, I'm going to skip a different Bible. 3:17.
Yes.
Okay. So whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Yeah. My L's and ones look the same. So. Thrown off there. But anyways, yeah, so Colossians 3:17 talks about giving thanks, acknowledging God in whatever we do in word or deed. You can look at those other two passages at your own if you want, but I wanted to add Colossians 3 in there as well. And so in that first category of ways to respond, opportunities respond to conflict, the first is glorifying God. Take a time with your partner. We're going to break up in groups again. 2 minutes. To describe a time you responded to conflict in a way that might have appeared unnatural to others, but which you used as an opportunity to testify to God's power. So pair up again with your partner. Opportunity, a way that you responded to conflict that might have seemed unnatural to others.
Yeah, I will say, in principle,
Right, about 10 more seconds. All right. Anybody want to share of a time where their response to conflict seemed unnatural to others, which was an opportunity to testify of God's power? Anybody want to share an opportunity?
Well, it's usually when I'm acting in a way that's counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm doing this because I want to and it feels right. But often when I respond to my kids, thinking of Lucia, our youngest daughter, what I want to do is like lay into her for not doing what she was supposed to do. And whenever I do that, you know, the conflict is increased. She pulls back. But if I come at her more graciously and say, we have to deal with this, but this doesn't affect how I love you. And so she just melts. Mm-hmm. And I get the I love you, Daddy response. And often we talk about, you know, because she'll say, oh, I love you so much, Daddy. And say, well, you know, really what dads or what I'm here for is to point you to God, who's your heavenly Father. He's perfect. Everything that's lacking in me is not lacking in God. And so trying to deflect even my child's love for me, which of course I love, what father wouldn't, but saying, but really this love is rightly directed towards God, and I want you to see him through this. And, but again, it's counterintuitive for me. What I want to do is seek justice. And my idea of justice is well, you deserve to be punished because you didn't do the thing that I asked you to do.
Yeah. That's good, Joe. Thanks for sharing. I was thinking, when I was thinking this, and I might have shared this example before, I worked at a country club in college, and I remember having a discussion with my manager, and he just kind of asked me, like, what's going on? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought I was in trouble, something did wrong. He's like, you never respond like anybody else. Like, whenever, like, things change, like, either, like, we're setting up for a wedding, and the party goes from, like, 100 to 150, so you gotta have tables and move things around. And he's like, and in his reference, he referenced some other employees that no longer worked there that, actually, it's how I got the job because we all went to church together. So they're coming here. He's like, you and these other guys, like, your guys are always like really happy and fine and good. He's like, what's the difference? And he knew we all went to church. And I just like kind of said, I was like, oh, it's just like, I mean, it's love of Christ and just being okay with it, and like learning to let go. And he goes, yeah, but no, what is it? Like, he didn't believe like that was the answer. Yeah. Right. Yes. Wanted to know what type of medication it was on or whatever it may have been. Oh, that's so chill. But that came up a couple different times, and there were plenty of times where I responded angrily to when people would mess up orders or things would go wrong or whatever it may have been. But that conversation just stood out. It was kind of a funny little thing coming in his office and chat there. So our second opportunity when conflict arises, we see there in B, is to serve others. So I'm going to read the four of these, or five of these, excuse me. And if you have a pen, if you don't have a pen, just make a mental note. The commitment, or what the book asks us to do, is to star or circle one that you will commit to work on this week. So where you can serve others in conflict. First one is help an opponent find better solutions than what they could on their own. If that is one that stands out to you, you can read Philippians 2, 3 through 4 for more context. Number two, carry the opponent's burden. You read Galatians 6, 2 for more information on that. Number three, help others learn where they erred. Galatians 6, 1. Everybody's comical on this. And then number four, provide opportunities to introduce others to Christ. And then number five, encourage by your example. That kind of goes back to what we just asked in that question, encourage others by example. So you guys all laughed at number three. I laughed at number one when I was going through this, finding better solutions. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll commit to that. And then I sat and I was like, that's what I do all the time anyways, and I don't do it very well. Maybe I should try something that I don't do very often. I am a solutions-oriented person. If you have a problem and you don't want a solution, don't talk to me because I'll give you about 10 on that side of things. And it's we laugh, and when we look at three, it helps others learn where you have erred, and we can laugh about that because I assume we can all think of a time where we took that approach and we took it in a very sinful type of response. Going back to what we said earlier, when we went to approach them where they erred, we failed to get the log out of our own eye from our kind of four G's of biblical peacemaking. So as you look at these five, I encourage you to maybe start, work on one that you don't do very often or you struggle to do. I ended up circling carry the other's burden on that side of things, just because that's something I tend to be escape responsive, and part of that is because I don't want to deal with the problem, and the carrying the other burdens requires you to kind of jump on in. Any questions on those five?
I like that number two. Like, you know, you can carry the other
Yeah, and it's interesting how it doesn't say like carry your loved one's burden; it's an opponent's burden, which is a whole another way to be sacrificially loving and kind. Which moves us into three, which I want to read these passages of scriptures. The third opportunity that arises from conflict, which is to grow to be like Christ. So if I could get some more volunteers to read, somebody read 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. All right, Christy's got that. So we got Psalm 119:67. Anybody want Psalm 119:67? Corey's got Psalm 119:67. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Somebody know that memorization. Yes, John. You read that one. All right. Christy, when you're ready.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Yeah. One of that verse, and this is a quote that Christ is sufficient for my needs and my weakness. In routine is the reminder that in conflict, going back to our little diagram here, often I will be needed to be reminded that when I want to respond to an attacking response of I got to win this, I got to get what is rightfully mine and what I think is mine, and remind no, like even if I lose or if I'm looked at as a fool, for there may be that Christ is sufficient. And that's been something reoccurring. We've been house buying or searching, as you know, and like when you go under contract or you're negotiating things, like often I'm like, no, I gotta win this negotiation, and then it's like, no, that's okay to respond in an overlooking side of things rather than in anger, and especially thinking about not necessarily how I interact with the sellers who I'll never meet, but more of like my interaction with our real estate agent who isn't a Christian, from my understanding, he grew up Jewish. And so that side of things, just like, kind of like, hey, how do I serve in that and make sure I'm representing Christ and that he is sufficient for everything? All right, Psalm 119:67, Corey.
Psalm 119:67. 119, right?
Yes, 119, 67.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word.
Yeah, so afflicted, in there would just be sinful habits. So exposed sinful habits, when those got exposed, we follow God's word. In the same way that earlier on we talked about helping others err, when people help us know where we have erred, it's an opportunity that when we see our sinfulness exposed, that we can grow like Christ and respond in truth and in love. And then third, 2 Corinthians 5:17, John.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new.
And probably a verse that many of us are familiar with, a metaphor there about being a new creation. And as a Christian, in this case, kind of synopsized in depending on grace to draw on new habits and attitudes in their a way to grow like Christ, of being aware of, hey, Christ has done something transformative in my life. How can I respond as a new creation and grow like Christ through this conflict? So conflict provides us opportunities. It provides us opportunities to grow like Christ, to serve others, and to glorify God. Just a kind of reflective question. What is the difference between going through conflict versus growing through conflict? When I read this line in the book, it kind of struck out to me, because often when I face conflict, whether it's buying a house, as I just mentioned, my thought is I just want to get through this as fast as possible and move on and be done with it. And that mindset of wanting to just get through this tends to impact how I respond, in either an escape side of things, because that's a quick, easy way to get out, just avoid it from there, or an attack side of things, because I want to win and be done with it, and strong arm you into responsibility or into submission. Where the switch of, hey, conflict is an opportunity to grow, allows us to kind of sit back, take some time to think of, like, how is the Lord giving me an opportunity to grow? Max, you gave us a great example earlier of you could have last night being late, just been like, oh, I'm going to bed, I'll deal with this tomorrow, and then gotten up this morning, just never thought about it because rushing to church. But instead, that you took an opportunity to grow, to go and confess and apologize to your son, which is a great shift of how we respond to conflict. Next on there, what it means to grow in conflict, it means two things. One, ask God to help you resist escaping or attacking tendencies. And then two, help to live out the gospel by responding with peacemaking. So when we think about conflict and it arises and we're thinking about it as a growing opportunity, the first thing that we need to do is ask God for help, that we don't respond in our little diagram here with escape responses, which is that denial, flight, or suicide, or attack responses, which is assault, litigation, or murder. But rather, we try to respond and ask God to give us help to respond in these peacemaking opportunities instead. So with that, I want to take some time here. We're going to break up in our groups. We have about 3 minutes to do this. I think we had five-ish groups. If not, we're going to make Max and Joe join Christy and Corey. And you guys are going to be group one, or I, under D. And then Jeff and Florence, you guys can be group two. Well, you guys pair up with Carl. It's Carl and Susan, right? You guys pair up with them and be group two. And then we'll do group three as this row. So I, and then group four will be our gentlemen over here. That'd be Jim, Ron, and John. And then group five will be Bill and the Moffitts. Look at those verses and try to come up with what those verses teach us about peace. So maybe just each of you read one of the verses together, or move through it and pair along. We will take about 3 minutes to do it. And then be willing to share as a group so that the rest of us can know what those verses say. And if you need a Bible, there's a couple more in the back. I also have one as well.
It says that Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it the Lord's Peace.
About 30 more seconds. What do your verses say about peace? And if you don't get an answer, that's okay, I'll tell you. All right, let's come on back together. If you don't have an answer yet, that's okay. I know there are a lot of Bible verses there, but we are running out of time, so we gotta land the plane in some sense and disembark and go into the sanctuary. All right, so group one, I think you, what did your Bible verses say about peace? God is peace. Very good. Yes. Peace is a part of God's character, is how the series lists it. Group two, do you guys have a thought or an idea? Yeah. No, or is, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, peace is a blessing from God that he gives to those that follow him. So what we've learned is God is peace, and God gives peace to those who follow him. Group three, you had a lot of verses. Did you guys come up with what we learned about peace there? Yes, God commands us to pursue peace. So we have God is peace, God gives us peace, he commands us to pursue peace. Gentlemen, group four. Any thoughts? You guys had a hard one, I feel. All right, very good. Yeah, so he establishes covenants through terms of peace. And then group five in the back. You guys had the most verses, I think. All right. It's also a straight. Go ahead.
He told Gideon not to worry.
Yeah.
That he would be there for him.
Yeah.
Be at peace.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So be at peace. He teaches his people to greet using the terms peace. So he says, peace be with you. I think some of those passage arcs, that was a little bit more obscure. As I was reading those passages, I was like, man, you gotta really make the connection of like, oh, it's one of those like puzzles where you think you're thinking one thing, but it's like, oh, he's greeting people with peace, saying that terminology there. So in review, we have statements that God is peace. He gives us peace as a blessing for those that follow him. He commands us to not only receive the peace, but also pursue peace. He's established his covenants using peace language. And then finally, he even uses it as a term of greeting, as kind of establishing your way. And then, what I like about number five is it kind of go back up above to a point I read earlier, is the statement that says, strive for the reality of peace, not the mere appearance of peace. And that greeting side of things, of the same way of just like when you say hello or hi or repeat things over again, greeting of peace, of helping us remind that we are to grow in our conflict and pursue peace. So a couple questions for you to think on your drive home or at lunch today is, which of these three opportunities, which are to grow, to be like Christ, serve others, and glorify God, which of those three opportunities is easiest for you and which is more difficult and why? And then finally, think on, if you were to pray for God to help you change one way in which you view conflict so you can begin seeing it as an opportunity, what would it be? So a couple things to do over the course of this week, maybe at today at lunch, talk about it with the kids, be a helpful understanding. Joe, I heard him talking about earlier, he made a statement which I thought was helpful as we look at these passages. Each section has Old Testament passages and New Testament passages, I think with the exception of the covenant terms, is this movement that we can see throughout all parts of Scripture of the emphasis of peace in many different ways in God's character and what he commands us to do, what he gives to us, and then as well as how he cares for us. And so just the unity of Scripture throughout. So let me close us in prayer and we can be on our way. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these individuals that attended Sunday school. I pray that you give us opportunities to bring peace, whether it's with our spouses, whether it's with our family members, our children, our coworkers, or even our neighbors or strangers, that we would be people that would walk in peace and share peace and help others find peace. Let us not respond in attacking or escaping, but let us respond an effort to glorify you, to serve others, and to become more like your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you took a laminated copy, please put it back on the music board. The other paper, you can keep it. All right.